number two, 102.5 The Game on this Thursday. We're live at Chiefs on Broadway for the SEC basketball tournament, which is going on right now over at Bridgestone Arena. Kentucky all over Missouri, 53-39, with about 14 minutes to go in the second half. And we are pleased to be joined by our good friend Jill Jelinek from Fox 17, sports director over there. Jill, what's up?
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me. Love this setup here at Chiefs. We got to do this more often.
I know. This is fun. I like the setup here. And we've been efforting to try and get Eric Church to actually call in, but I hear he might not be available.
He's a little busy.
He's a busy guy.
Yeah, that's okay.
Listen, why are you out of breath?
Me?
Yeah.
I it happens.
He just hustled over to give me my camera so I could get in this trip
when
box.
When I'm hustling and like focus, I'll forget to breathe, and that's kind of what happened.
Well, we got a busy week too. We got so many games. Kentucky playing right now. Obviously, Vols tipping off in a little bit. I mean, where do we start, guys?
Yeah. Well, let's start with the Vols. It looks like Ament's going to play. He's been out, which I think is going to be big for them. And I just asked Joe this, so I'll ask you the same question. You don't necessarily – I mean, you want to win the SEC tournament. You want to do well in the SEC tournament, but they're in the NCAA tournament. So if he's not 100%, do you want to rush him out there for this game, or would you like to hold him, maybe give him a little more time to rest?
That's a great question. Here's my first thought. You're right. The Vols in the NCAA tournament, most projections have them at a 5 seed, which I think is about right. I would say you want your full team be playing the best you can, rolling in to that NCAA tournament. If he's healthy, which, let's be honest, he hasn't been the last couple games. The Vols have been smart, haven't played him because he hasn't gotten the full go. But if he's healthy and ready to go, absolutely play him this week. This is a Vols team that needs to find a way to play together again. They have suffered so many injuries. It's a team that, really, this time of year, what's their identity? Do we really even know? Because it's been so capricious with the schedule and their games and the opponents. That's the SEC every single day.
My argument
is, if he's healthy, absolutely full go, because build as much momentum as you can going into that NCAA tournament. Don't save him. Don't risk that questionability of what is this team trying to do in the most important part of the season.
Well, look, we love you, right? You know that. You can't drop big words like that.
I wasn't sure where you were going with that for a second.
When you say capricious, I'm like, oh, Big Joe's going to say something.
I think of Capri Suns, which we all get.
Oh, I love Capri Suns.
Doesn't?
Little different, though.
Capricious.
Yeah.
I got to look that up.
Changeable, Jill. Flighty. Those will be the first two words you'll see in the dictionary next.
Changeable what?
Changeable, flighty. Like the weather, which the last couple days in Nashville, you could argue that the weather has been capricious.
Well, there you go. See, we learn new words with Jill.
I have never heard of.
Do you know what her favorite word is?
Cheesecake.
That's my second favorite one.
Penultimate.
All right. That's second biggest, right?
The second to last.
Second to last. Yeah.
Yeah. So we're not there yet. We're not at the penultimate game. That will come on Saturday, which I think the Vols have a really good chance of making if Amanda's healthy. They can put together a complete performance, which we have not seen the back end of the regular season.
Well, they got to get through a desperate Auburn team with first year head coach Stephen Pearl, who took over for Bruce Pearl. They really need to win this game today. And then the winner of that game gets a team off West End playing pretty well.
They talk about a team that has been peaking at the right time. I think they've been coming together. They've also suffered a lot of injuries, players in and out of the lineup. But I think they've had more of an identity the back end since 2026 than the Vols have. Just because, man, their guard play, their backcourt play, that everybody's clicking at the right time. And it's not just one guy. Yes, Tyler Tanner, all SEC first
team.
He's
so fun.
He's so fun. Brentwood native. Shout out to the local.
Shout out
to those local kids, Big Joe. I think that Vandy team is very dangerous. However, I never like the double bye.
Yeah.
I don't like the double bye in basketball because, for great example, Vandy women, who were the number two seed, got steamrolled by a very, very talented Ole Miss team. Vandy looked like they were coming off of a double bye, and they were. They were too rested, didn't come out firing, never could catch up at the end of the game.
Now they're going to be off for a week and a half.
Yeah, now they got to figure it out before.
Again.
Yeah, that's another problem. Yeah,
that's a really good point. I never thought about that, because if you get Yeah, because Tennessee, whoever they play, Tennessee or Auburn, is going to be warmed up, ready to go, and Vanderbilt's going to be cold. Didn't Vanderbilt lose last year in the first round of the tournament? I know the NCAA tournament they did. I don't remember.
In the SEC tournament, yes.
They've been bounced out so many times in the first round that I've lost count. But
what's interesting about this Vanderbilt team, though, is I think even more than last year, right? Higher expectations. Most projections have them as a four, maybe five seed. I think if Vanderbilt wins this quarterfinal matchup, regardless of who it is, Auburn or Tennessee, I think they're a four seed in the tournament. If they can push the envelope a little bit and make a run to the SEC championship game Sunday, could they be a conversation for a three seed?
Do they get Florida Saturday in the semifinals?
They would get they would get Florida Saturday.
Chihuahua.
Well, if Florida's got to win Friday, but right now I'd it's going to be tough to take down the Gators.
Florida plays the winner of that game.
Right now. Yeah.
Because the game Sunday's at noon, so the one seed always gets the early game, and that way they're not playing the late game that night. So I don't know, Kentucky. What are they up to now? They're up by.
They're playing basketball, right?
Okay, 12 points. Yeah.
Are we sleeping on Alabama?
Are we?
I feel like they haven't been talked about as much this year, but I mean, we know Nate Oates and you know what those teams have been, and I mean, here they are. They have the double bye as well. We'll play tomorrow night, so I think they're kind of one to pay attention to.
I mean, all these SEC teams, right? Wasn't it last year that they had a record number of SEC teams going into the NCAA tournament? Was it 12, 11? It was a lot. And, I mean, I wouldn't be surprised
like 13,
if the same. Yeah,
thought, yeah.
Right.
Didn't
it was
a new
record.
Bounced out pretty quickly, too.
Yeah, they did, but that's March for you.
By the way, Jill Jelinek is with us here at Chiefs on Broadway. Capricious. From Nick Frazier is an adjective describing someone or something prone to sudden, unpredictable changes in mood, behavior, or condition.
There you go.
Brilliant, Jill.
Oh, gosh. Thanks,
guys. Did you learn that at East Carolina?
I learned that from my mom, English teacher, public educator for 40-plus years.
Nice. Well, there you go.
Yep.
Shout out to Mrs. Jelinek.
Yeah, and your father and I have a bond because we both hate air conditioning.
You guys are anti-AC brothers forever.
Right. I wrote a story about you and your dad and your family. That it was all the mainstream media papers about. In my car growing up, I didn't have air conditioning.
It makes you tougher.
To this day, I still do not turn on air conditioning in my car.
Sign of weakness.
Right? It is.
Sign of weakness.
And I was talking to your dad about that. He's like, I don't
know. Just roll down the windows, guys. roll down the windows. Yep.
I think it's great.
All right, so let's ask Jill our question of the day because I think she would love weighing in on this.
What team, no matter what, do you hope loses all the time? So it's not so much a team that you hate, but what team do you just hope they never, ever, ever win another game?
Oh, this is – oh, man.
You just said – okay. Nobody's listening.
Yeah, nobody's listening. I'm okay. I'm any sport, right? We're not talking about like men's basketball. We're not even talking about collegiate athletics. For me personally, I'm okay if NC State does not win another game in any sport ever again because I hated them so much in college.
But you played
at East Carolina. They were just down the road, 2 hours away in Raleigh. And
so is that the big rivalry for
UNC and NC State are big rivals, right? And then we're like that ugly stepsister, East Carolina University. I'm okay saying it because we are an underdog in every matchup. But my senior year, head coach Ruffin McNeil and the Pirates football team destroyed UNC and NC State in the same year, like double digit. And that was unfortunately probably the peak of ECU football in the last decade.
How does Duke weigh into this?
Duke doesn't actually. Well, here's why Duke doesn't weigh into it for me. They didn't have a softball team up until a couple years ago.
Ah, okay.
We never played them. So no blood.
Good.
Yeah.
But NC State.
Yeah, no Wolfpack. Down Wolfpack. Yeah. Whatever their Wolfpack thing is, down.
I love it. Yes.
Yeah. There you go. So it's super personal for me.
Good. It should be.
Yeah. Okay.
Right? There's a rivalry there.
Yeah, it comes from something.
Yeah.
Look, all I know is when you think of famous alums from East Carolina, there are four that come to mind. Sandra Bullock. Love him or hate him. Vince McMahon.
Okay. There you go.
Chris Johnson.
CJ.
And Jill Jelinek.
Oh, that's good. That's pretty funny, Chase. That's good.
I like
good.
That.
Yeah.
There's got to be more, right?
Yeah, there are. There's some. I just looked it up.
Those are the big four.
Linda McMahon. Okay. It was Vince's, I don't know what they are these days, but
is it, she's the Department of Education?
Yeah, she's she's on the cabinet.
Who else we got from East Carolina?
Let's see. Emily Proctor, the actress. She was on CSI Miami.
She was? Yep. She was also in West Wing.
Scott Avett of the Avett Brothers.
I guess. Okay.
Yeah, he was there.
Jeff Hoffman, pitcher for the Toronto Blue Jays, was in my class.
Jeff Blake,
quarterback.
Jeff Blake was one.
In the 90s of the Bengals forever.
And one baseball player that committed to ECU but then went straight to the draft, someone by the name of Mike Trout.
Oh, wow. Okay. I didn't know that.
I didn't know that either.
ECU has a great baseball program.
How far from the beach?
Justin Hardy was
one. We're an hour and some change. Okay. Yeah.
Dwayne
Beautiful
Harris.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Dwayne Harris.
Is that Wilmington?
Yeah. Yeah. Wilmington. Mm-hmm.
There you go.
Surf City.
ECU. ECU. Yeah. Gotta love it. The Pirates. Coming up next, the Titans have been very, very busy. I want to get your thoughts on that. And also the, we were talking about it earlier and playing a little Sarah McLachlan because the Flaming Thumbtack, it's the last day of the famous Titans logo, the Flaming Thumbtack.
Oh,
so, it's a little sad.
A little sad here with that.
But we'll have more with Jill Jelinek from Fox 17 here on 102.5 The Game. All Eric Church today, live from Chiefs on Broadway. Come by on the third floor and say hello as you head down to Bridgestone Arena in the SEC tournament. As right now, Missouri's making this interesting. Kentucky up 58-51 with about 10 minutes left in the second half. And looks like they've made that 58-52. Mizzou at the line. I don't know if that was a tech or flagrant one, I guess is what it was. So a couple of foul shots there.
Let us know, buddy.
Well, he just said flagrant one. There you go.
Jill, you take good pictures. That was a great picture.
Oh, thank you. Just tweet it out.
Right?
Jill Jelinek, Fox 17 Sports Director, is with us.
Jill, real quick, is that a skinny filter that you put on us?
It's wide lens. Wide lens is the secret.
Okay. Oh, okay. Yep. Thank you. Yep. Chase, look, that's a good picture of you too,
buddy.
Yeah,
that is a good one.
at Jill Jelinek on that. All right, well done.
Titans have been busy this week, and they're slowly announcing the free agents that – we know they have signed, but Wandale Robinson, a lot of Giants, a lot of Jets or 49ers that have played for both these coaches and Robert Saleh and Brian Daboll. But I like what they've done. And I, in my opinion, you can't say that this team right now, at least on paper, isn't better.
Has to be, right? I mean, it just feels like it. I mean, coming off of the season that they had last year, right? Yeah. How underwhelming it was, how desperate they were for someone to step up, be that star, which ended up being the rookies, in my opinion, Alec Iomanner, right? He had a great rookie season. And
DK,
thank you, Chimray DK. This is a team that was starving for some star power on paper. It certainly looks like it. However, I feel like a little deja vu. Haven't we been here before with the Calvin Ridley signing, with some other big names in the past? And, you know, it just never showed up on the field. Hopefully that's different this time around. But I think the difference is, and you hit on it, Chase, the connections with the current coaching staff, former Giants. Coach Brian Daboll has played with them. He's coached a lot of these offensive weapons, right? Robert Saleh, former 49ers, former Jets. Mike Borgonzi, a lot of Chiefs connections here, right? And so I think having been with these players in the past, their work ethic, how they treat each other in locker room, the locker room personnel and chemistry, those are hopefully things that are all taking into account.
Well, I think I get tired of this. People are like, oh, I mean, you know, he was terrible with the Jets. You know, he was terrible with the Giants. Look, every football team's got four or five good players. Now, maybe if you go 0-17, you got some good players. They've grabbed what I think are some really good football players for this team that know the coaches. There's that comfortability they've got there. I think this team is far better today at 121 on Thursday, March 12th, than they've been in a long time. And I like Saleh. Mm-hmm. I know you've interviewed him. You've talked to him. When he got hired, Joe, went down players. They were talking about him. They were like, he's a hard ass. He yells at us. We're not sure he likes us, but we know that he loves us. And I'm like, that's strong. I think he's going to do great here.
He wants to get the best out of every single one of his players. And whether that is, you know, yelling, right, being aggressive, being not being that coddling head coach, you know, buddy, that is certainly not him.
Right.
Just from my conversations, from talking to head coach Robert Saleh, conviction. everything that comes out of his mouth, he says with conviction. This is why it didn't work in at the Jets, but this is why it's going to work now. Boom, 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 boom. And he just comes out, lays out, and is so convicted in what he says.
Yeah.
I'm just like, okay. And I don't remember that from Brian Callahan's introductory press conference. No. I don't remember that conviction. No. I just don't. That was what stood out to me. That was a huge glaring difference.
Yeah. Well, and I thought it was interesting, too, with Daboll, when he was introduced, he sounded like a head coach.
Oh, my gosh, totally.
I mean, you know, and I mean, Gus Johnson did, too, or Gus Bradley, not Gus Johnson. Gus Bradley did, too. And I think people miss, like, how important that experience is going to be, that all three of these guys have been head coaches. All three of these guys have failed as head coaches, which I think is important too, because what do you learn from? You learn from your failures and your mistakes. And I think we've already seen Robert Saleh specifically do some things differently going in to year one mm-hmm. than he did with the Jets. So I as for the moves, it's just, I think, an exciting time. And then on top of that, you got tonight, they're going to unveil new uniforms yeah. and a logo and all that stuff where it officially becomes a new era for the Tennessee Titans.
Yeah. I have a question for you. How about this?
Sure.
From the moves that they've made, clearly leaning defensive heavy, would you like to see more offensive players pickups? Do you think they're going too much on the defensive side? He is a defensive-minded coach, but do you think they're going too much defensive side with that cap space?
You can't build Rome in a day. So you're going to build the defense. You're going to make that defense badass.
Mm-hmm.
I told Chase earlier, football is cyclical. 5 to 7 years, trends change. Now it's about defense.
Okay.
Yep.
Build the defense. That way I can –
That's your backbone.
I think the offense needs a lot of help, mm-hmm. but I don't feel like spending $22 million on a guy that's like, I don't know what he's going to do.
Mm-hmm.
Get the defense on the field.
Who just won the Super Bowl?
Who just won?
Seattle.
Seattle, thank you.
Right?
I almost said Mike Vrabel, the Patriots.
Oh, but how did they do it?
Yeah, defense.
Defense and a run game.
Yeah, yeah. Balanced attack on offense, I will give them that, right? Sam Darnold didn't do it all by himself.
Exactly. And I think that's kind of the formula. And Robert Saleh saw that defense or saw that offense quite a bit. But, you know, you build around Cam Ward. He's got three good receivers. I don't think he has an elite receiver by any means yet. You got a young tight end that they seem to be happy with, and Gunnar mm-hmm. Helm. They just signed a guy that can help
Daniel
on the blocking
Ballinger.
In. Yep. The offensive line is still a work in progress, which concerns me a little bit. Everybody was sleep, you know, was kind of like, well, do they cut Tony Pollard, all that stuff? I think Pollard's fine.
Yeah.
He needs help. You know, mm-hmm. I'm not sure that Tajay Spears is really the number two back, but they can address that in the draft.
I was just going to say, draft's coming up. I feel like the draft might be where they target more offensive weapons for Cam Ward.
And if they go Jeremiah Love, then that's huge. I think that is a offensive weapon for Cam Ward. But I'm with Joe. I have no issue addressing the defense as much mm-hmm. as they have, because that defensive front needed – Jeffrey Simmons needed help.
Yeah, no
question. And I think he has it now. John Franklin Myers – is going to be a beast.
Mm.
And I love that move. Bringing home Alante Taylor on the back end.
Move.
Like,
good.
I think that's mm-hmm. going to be a really good move. I don't know as much about Flott, who they got from the Giants.
Cornerback,
but everything I've read has been positive. Mm-hmm. So I definitely like those moves.
Listen, Jill, remember this. Football, and we talk about this all the time, comes down to two things, blocking and tackling.
Blocking and tackling.
That's it. Yep. That's the backbone of football. So if you can get a defense that you know and say, look, I'm going to put 11 guys on the field that are going to give everything I got to stop the other offense. While this offense comes along, I'm all aboard. And again, look, we've been severe critics of Callahan, Amy Adams, the franchise. Mm-hmm. But I think she's gotten out of the way. Let Borgonzi run the team. Let him do what he does best and build it. I think hiring Robert Saleh was the A-plus hire of the offseason. Now let him work.
I hope so. I hope so, too. I really like him. I like the way the direction they're going. I just love the fresh energy.
Yeah.
You know, we obviously have the brand-new logo and everything unveiling tonight. Good fresh energy, new staff, new minds. Brian Daboll, like you said, Gus Bradley, so many different personalities, but also just football IQs that hopefully can figure out what they've done wrong in the past and right the ship.
Hey, we want to thank you for – you're not going anywhere, by the way.
Oh, I was like, okay, thanks, guys. This was fun.
for allowing us to be on the Game Changer podcast that you do.
Oh, yeah.
I think that's great.
Yeah.
I know Chase was one of the very first guests.
That's
I was like
you were right there too,
4 years down the line. We're not I'm not bitter about that. But when it aired that Sunday night, I got so many text messages from people that were watching that, that I was like, so thank you. That was, that's really good. It's really, you do a good job with that.
Thanks.
And we appreciate us.
Thanks.
Let's go on the show with you.
Absolutely. Well, I love what you guys are doing, and that's the whole point of the show, right? Game Changers in Nashville. How are we not just not just being a part of the sports world, but how are we making an impact? What else are we doing to give back? And I think it's a great platform to be able to do that, and I'm not restricted to 2 minutes.
Yeah.
So.
Well, I know that feeling. Gosh.
I'll say this, too. Last summer, you had Jeffrey Simmons on.
I did.
And that was a, pun intended, game-changing interview for me as I viewed him, because I had been pretty critical of him and there was some growing up that he needed to do, which I think he admitted, but you know, everybody was anointing him a leader and all these things. And I questioned that and I watched that interview and thought that he was the most vulnerable. He allowed himself to be vulnerable with you and truly kind of show you who he is and how he thinks. And there were several things that he said, including the biggest thing that I took away was, you know, when he got there with Vrabel, he knew what was expected. They were still trying to figure that out with Callahan, and they truly never did.
Yeah, it was tough.
That stood out. But him talking about, you know, being double teamed and triple teamed and like how he's trying to get better at that and the weight loss and stuff, I was very impressed by it. And I think it changed a lot of people's views of him and his relationship with the media in general. So that to me was a real big turning point with that interview. And
I appreciate that.
You do a great job with it. As Joe said, who's coming up? Who are some guests
we
that
just
you can
had,
reveal?
Former Vanderbilt star Drew Maddux is our episode this week. He is so inspirational. He made me want to just run through a wall, like just right there in our podcast room. And we talked, he gave us the secrets to building the best March Madness bracket.
Oh, nice.
Yes, there's three things you need to look at. I'm not going to give it away. You can check it out on Nashville Game Changers podcast, but Drew Maddux gives you the three secrets to building the best bracket.
I'm going to say best looking mascot.
One.
It's got something that doesn't do with sports at all.
Yeah.
Best looking mascot, where the college is located.
Yep.
Is that a fun city?
Do they have a good college town? Yeah. And how rowdy is the fan base?
Those are all good. So what's your agenda today? What are you doing?
In terms of just what my work day?
Yeah.
Well, we're getting started with you guys, of course, right? Just getting warmed up. Got the Vols game, have a live shot at 5:30, and then most likely I will probably hustle over to the Pinnacle and be there for the Titans unveiling and the hurrah. They've been promoting this 3-12 thing forever. We might as well.
Right. Yeah. I will tell you this, and Chase remembers this. You weren't here. When they unveiled the new jerseys in April or May of 1999.
Oh, my God.
That's still talked about today.
Yep.
Okay.
The four guys came out. Blaine Bishop, Frank Wycheck, Craig Hendrick, and Eddie George came out. That was the first time we saw the flying thumbtack, all that. It's still talked about today how great of a moment that was.
And I went in 2019 when they unveiled this current uniform set. Morgan Wallen, an up-and-coming country music artist at the time, was one of the performers.
Amazing.
With Florida Georgia Line.
2018. Right now, right outside
Amazing.
Of Broadway.
That's great.
Who was it? It was Mariota, Taylor Lewan.
Delaney Walker.
And then I think Eddie. Eddie was a part of
too.
It.
Eddie, too. So Eddie.
Eddie and Frank came
Eddie
back
and Frank were part
gonna,
of it. Yeah.
Are they going to bring back Eddie for this one? Probably not.
You never know.
He's been busy. He's been busy.
So it should be fun. And I'm curious. I think we know what it's going to be, more of an Oilers-type simple look, which is fine, but I think they're going to surprise us with a third. And then there's that rivalry uniform or whatever that they're unveiling with the league. I think we could see some cool stuff.
Yeah.
So it's time. It's been time. And we'll miss the flaming thumbtack.
It will. I also, not to make this a Jill Jelinek hour, congratulations on your Emmy Award.
Oh, thanks. I appreciate that. Sportscast.
Your photographer, Ryan.
Shout out to Ryan Brooker. Yeah. helped me put it together.
The Emmys I won, and I'm not trying to upstage you, because it goes back to you, were never traditional sportscasts.
Right. They're not. Why should they be?
Right. And when I go speak to people, to groups and young kids, I'm like, be different.
Outside the box.
100%. Your walk and talk about the draft, right? I'm like, 30 seconds in, I'm like, it's going to win.
Yeah.
I told her, I said, it's going to win. It's going to win the Emmy.
I thought so. Well, it did. So I appreciate that.
Because it's creative. Yeah. People are lazy.
We got to look for other
ways. A lot of our sports brethren, some in this town, are extremely lazy, right? You are not. That was creative. That was really a well-deserved Emmy.
Ryan Brooker and I put that together. That was a good one. It was fun. You know, it's not every year you have the number one overall pick. So we thought it would be fun to do something different. Great. And I'm glad we did.
Well done.
Thanks, guys. Thanks,
Kentucky
Joe.
And Missouri in a battle right now. 65-58 Wildcats as they just get a big turnover and do nothing with it. Maybe they'll do something with it. But 5:48 to go in this game over at Bridgestone Arena. We have a text from Matthew in Nashville.
Oh, what's up, Matthew?
Is Jill going to get to call more games for college softball in the future?
Oh, my gosh, Matthew. Thank you for asking. Yes, I am. I actually have about 6 Lady Vols games. Number one ranked Tennessee
they're
Lady
fun.
Vols.
I actually watched them against LSU when they came back. They're good.
And that was without their ace, Carlin Pickens. So, Matthew, thanks for asking. Yes, I have a ton of games in April and maybe some more, TBD.
Okay, very, very cool. Jill, appreciate
guys,
it as always.
Thank
it's
you.
Good to see you.
So much fun.
Enjoy Bridgestone Arena and the craziness. Be careful of the blue mist because you're going to run into it.
Yes, always. I appreciate you guys. Thanks so much for having me. And
the wide-angle lens?
Wide-angle lens. That's what we're talking about. That's what we're talking about. Too much fun.
We're live at Chiefs here on Broadway for SEC tournament coverage here on Chase and Big Joe, 102.5 The Game.